At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's up, everyone? Welcome back to District Baseball. It is a very fun episode as we are grading the deadline, all the winners, all the losers of the MLB trade deadline. We're going to talk about right here on today's episode. Cannot wait to dive into it. But first, Trey, how's it going?
Nick, it was a weird deadline. A lot of pieces moving around. Necessarily the biggest names, although there were some. But definitely some intriguing deals, especially for some change of scenery candidates. And already seeing some of those moves start to pan out.
Yeah, I know exactly the one you're talking about. And, you know, we'll save it for, spoiler, our winners segment. But yeah, just all in all, like the deadline, always a fun time of year regardless. So like that part, you know, remained the same. It felt like a very different deadline from years past. And I think this is going to sound a little bit backwards, but I think it's in large part due to the expanded playoffs, which I know have been around for a couple of years now. But this is like the first real year where so many teams were mathematically very much alive this late into the season because nobody has been pulling away yet. And you see some teams now that are, you know, building a little bit of a cushion for that second, third wildcard spot, things like that. So obviously now that we're almost in August, they're pulling away a little bit. But at the deadline, so many teams had this decision to make where I think previously they would instantly be sellers because when there was only one wild card spot, they really didn't stand a chance. But now that there's three and they're only, you know, one or two games back of that third spot, they're like, well, shit, we kind of need to, you know, support our team a little bit. So that inherently made it a seller's market, fewer teams selling. But you also saw a lot of like contending teams clutch their pearls a little bit. No top 100 prospects traded. It was a very interesting deadline. It was active, a lot of mid-tier moves made, but no real big splashes, which I think was a little bit surprising.
A lot of depth moves here. Yeah. And it makes some sense, especially with all the injuries this year. Mm-hmm. One, that just takes more guys off the market because they're hurt. And two, you're more playing to keep your guys healthy and in the long term for the playoffs. And and like you're saying, especially in the National League, everyone's so close together that it definitely became a big seller's market because anyone that decided to buy was kind of like, all right, we're going for it now because it was a tough decision to make. Although now that the trade deadline is over, we're going to see that split start to happen because of who bought and who sold. I think the biggest seller of the entire deadline is inarguably the Miami Marlins.
Yep.
Who essentially liquidated their entire team. Mm-hmm. But in return, they got a lot of really intriguing prospects. And I think they did pretty damn good. What were your thoughts on Miami just on the surface?
So I have this weird thing with Miami. Part of it's, I'm sure, being a Nats fan, but like, the Marlins, if I were to rank the NL East rivals 1 through 4, the Marlins are even below 4. Like I would put the Nats at like 3 or 4.
Exactly.
Because we're our own worst enemy most of the time. So that's just to say, like, I don't have this instant hatred towards the Marlins. I do because of how they operate. And obviously the you know, kind of just forcing out Kim Ang and all that stuff and just really doing her dirty. So like that part, yeah. And I certainly don't have any sympathy for them for trading away all the great players they have had over the years. So all that on the table, I think they had a good deadline. It was just the whole direction of the organization is just confusing because this is a team that made the playoffs last year. And I think that's where I'm losing it a little bit. If they are all the way in on this rebuild, which it seems like they are based off
this point. Exactly
at this point. But at the same time, it's like, you know, if these guys become good, are they just going to trade them again? You know, because they've been doing that for so many years now. Like there was a great tweet where it's like, the Marlins did a great job at the deadline acquiring a bunch of quality prospects that in 6 to 8 years will make great trade pieces for when they sell again. You know, like yeah. it's just this thing. So, okay, all that to the side, all that on the table. They did a good job, right? This is clearly not a competitive team. They traded everything that was not nailed down. They, you know, shed salary. Another great tweet. The Marlins active payroll right now is like 13 million, which is less than a 60-second Super Bowl ad. So it's like,
wow.
The Marlins are operating for less costs than it would take a company to buy a Super Bowl ad. Which, you know, they're one of many teams that are operating that way in baseball, but regardless. They did a pretty good job. Certainly the Tanner Scott haul was really impressive. AJ Preller of the Padres is known to do that, but really the big one is getting Connor Norby and Kyle Stowers for Trevor Rogers. Like if anything, you would have thought that was maybe for Scott, right? Who was a rental, but has been one of the best closers in baseball this year. You know, maybe the Orioles are taking a big swing. The Orioles did take a big swing, but it wasn't on the guy you thought, right? So for the Marlins to get Connor Norby, who I understand his path was kind of blocked in Baltimore, but still, like, that feels like selling low on a really quality prospect if you're Baltimore. But certainly a big win for the Marlins. And honestly, you know, we're seeing so many teams just like it is what it is for the next 3 years, and it seems like the Marlins are in that. So we'll see how the next 3 years go. But this is what I like about the selling aspect of the deadline. If you're going to sell, go all in. And that's what the Marlins did. So you have to kind of commend them for it in some respect.
Yeah, they certainly picked a direction. Definitely because we'll get to some of the losers of teams that did not pick a direction, and we have no idea what they're doing. But it's the Miami is clearly going into a full rebuild. And the key here is on paper, they won this deadline. Yeah. Well, on paper, the they got is all these great pieces.
Yep.
But like the last, like pretty much every time they do this, it doesn't seem like they can develop these guys quickly enough or enough of them at the same time to really push for, you know, a World Series or a division or anything like that. You know, they got in last year based on some very savvy deadline moves.
And just crushing the Nats and all season long.
And also destroying the Washington Nationals will help you. Yeah. I think, again, on paper, they did really well here. We just have to see what exactly these prospects become. I think the AJ Puck deal went kind of underrated.
It did.
But they got Andrew Pintar back for him and De Los Santos, who is a nice prospect as well. But Pintar is going to be probably pretty good for them. And that's for AJ Puck, who is really struggling. Like they got good value for struggling pitchers. And that's definitely something that I feel like a few teams can say this deadline, because starting pitching in general is just so needed for everyone. Yeah. And you know, some of these franchises think that they can obviously get more out of these pitchers than Miami did. And they might be right. I bet Trevor Rogers improves on the Orioles, but I still don't know if it's necessarily worth all that they gave up.
No, it's not. I can tell you right now, it's not. Like,
yeah, that's kind of the thing with the O's.
They could have gotten any other like mid-tier. Obviously, Crochet never really seemed like a possibility for any team. No team was willing to pay up, and Crochet wanted an instant extension and all things like that. But They could have gotten an Eric Fetty. I know they traded for Flaherty last year, but they could have gotten Flaherty. They could have gotten maybe gone aggressive after Tyler Anderson. Like, you know, they could have gotten a better starting pitcher is the point. And it seems like an odd choice.
It is a bit of an odd choice. The thing, they do have so much expendable depth that it doesn't really hurt them in terms of their future. Excuse my phone. but so I got distracted by the iPhone alarm. So the Orioles obviously aren't impacted immediately by this trade because they have so many great prospects, one of which hit his first career home run. That was a grand slam today. That was pretty cool.
Yeah.
So
no names prospect that we've never heard of.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I mean, who was that guy? But yeah, so it's like using your depth. Obviously they lost that trade because you can't win a trade for Trevor Rogers while giving up Connor Norby. It's just not going to happen. I mean, unless he becomes his 2021 All-Star self for the next 3 years, which I can't
and
see
happening.
And
it's like the Marlins were eating all of his salary or something, which they're not.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
That's the only way you could conceivably win on paper.
Yeah, but for the O's, it's kind of like, whatever, we might lose a trade, but we still have all these guys, and we're able to develop other guys that will eventually become pieces, either trade-wise or on the roster. So I don't think they're really worried about that, but Miami certainly got a good deal there. And they, yeah, again, they did really well on paper. We just have to see how they develop these guys.
Yep. Yeah, they sold everything that, you know, wasn't nailed down to the ground. And even the stuff that could be nailed, they sold it as well. The kind of headliner outside of Tanner Scott was the Jazz Chisholm deal, who goes to New York. And honestly, for me, Trey, like, the Yankees are one of the biggest winners, not because they had the best deadline or, you know, went out and made the biggest splash or anything like that, but they're getting instant production from, you know, the guy they traded for, right? So that's like the early returns can obviously sway public opinion. And, you know, even if the trade was like you overpaid a little bit, or even on paper, if the guy hits four home runs in 24 hours, you won. Like, it doesn't really matter what you gave up. So the Yankees, to me, obviously already having a great season, they sorely needed some help. And Jazz was really a change of scenery candidate. Honestly, good of the Marlins for just trading him. Like, they could have played the game where they decided to wait to see if he could recoup some of his value and perform a little bit better. But that place is a black hole. Like, nobody performs well in Miami just because of the way they operate the organization. So Jazz was very much a change of scenery guy. And you see that right away. He's fitting in perfectly well in the Bronx.
I am excited for him to go home to greet that home crowd after this series against Philly, which, by the way, is the best team, or one of the best teams in baseball. And Jazz basically destroyed them almost by himself. But today is actually DJ LeMahieu, who literally won the game by himself today. Jazz obviously was he was not only a change of scenery candidate, he was the change of scenery candidate.
Everyone,
I feel like,
kind of pointed to him. Yep.
Yeah, it's like every time he's in a big game, he shows up. And unfortunately, when you play for Miami, you're not in a lot of big games. So now he'll be in basically every game down the stretch is important. And that is good for him because he'll play better. And it's definitely good for us because we want to watch him at his absolute peak. Early returns are excellent for the Yankees, but I also really like the Mark Leiter Jr. pickup from the Cubs. I feel like he maybe on the surface hasn't looked as great, but he's got some pretty nasty stuff. I feel like the Yankees can tap into that, and they needed bullpen help big time. They also got Eniel De Los Santos from the Padres, who is a nice depth piece in their bullpen. But the Leiter Jr. is acquisition is going to be pretty interesting for me. But yeah, obviously Jazz is the big winner here for the Yankees. And yes, they are one of our winners for this deadline.
Yep, for sure. All right, let's move on to our first loser. And we're going to start with, in my mind, the most obvious one, and that's the Chicago White Sox. There's two, I would say, equal halves to this. First and foremost, they did not sell as much as anyone thought, or quite frankly, as much as they needed to.
Yeah.
This is a team that has no direction. They have good players, a couple of them. but they have like, you know, no real future with this core because there just isn't enough support around them, and there's not really much they can do in the short term to support those good players like Crochet and Robert and guys like that. Eric Fetty, that was kind of the popular name being thrown around. They traded him, sure. Yeah, they traded, you know, granted, or with the benefit of hindsight, knowing all of the starting pitchers traded, Eric Fetty was statistically the best pitcher traded. So what'd they get for him, Trey?
Jack shit, Nick.
Yeah, they didn't get anything. And they're going to be, people will be like, oh, well, you know, they got some prospects. It was a three-team deal. The Cardinals got Eric Fetty and Tommy Pham, for that matter, and gave up nothing for the White Sox.
Miguel Vargas isn't nothing. At least he is a nice player, but like,
he came from the Dodgers though.
Yeah. And he did come from the Dodgers. That's the other part.
Which I understand that's how three team trades work, but like the Cardinals, we'll get to them in a second. They're instantly winners because they just commit. What's above highway robbery? I don't know. Airplane honestly. Robbery. Like what? It was the craziest trade I've ever seen. Like everyone's looking at this deal thinking there's missing pieces to the information because the Cardinals just took these two quality players and the White Sox just said, okay.
Yep. And then the Dodgers end up with Michael Kopech, who is, I mean, he is a prime Dodgers reclamation project.
Yep.
He has stuff. He's just been wildly inconsistent, but I mean, it's the perfect kind of guy. Even if he doesn't work out, this trade is probably smart from the Dodgers because they know the upside is there. He can be a guy in the playoffs in the seventh, eighth inning that has the stuff to compete if they can get that out of him, which I believe that they probably will. And they only gave up really Miguel Vargas. I mean, the other two prospects they threw were basically just throw-ins. I don't even know who they're not even on the radar. And Miguel Vargas has had some success in short stints at the big league level, and he'll probably be a solid big league player. But for what the White Sox gave up here, it's nothing. It's nothing at all. It's embarrassing.
Yeah.
And that doesn't even go into the fact that they then turn around and traded Eloy Jimenez to dump salary off their books and basically got nothing for it. I think they're probably the only decent trade they made was Tanner Banks to the Phillies. And that was as close as you can get to a win there.
I was going to say, like, that's sure, that's fine. But like, if that's like your biggest win of the deadline as a seller's market, like you're such a loser.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, huge mistake to not trade Robert. Probably a big mistake to not trade Crochet. I know there was a lot of talk about what he wanted when he did get moved, but at the end of the day, they could still probably work something out there, and they just didn't. But Luis Robert needed to go. I mean, I just don't know what you're doing at this point with him. Like, he's only losing value as he plays more, you know, he loses more service time. And I just, I mean, he's not having the most insane year this year, but you're going to be the worst team ever. It doesn't matter.
That much is set in stone now. Because you're going to have to shut down Crochet at some point too.
Probably, yeah, you're right.
Because he was a reliever basically all of his career, and now he's a starter and a damn good one. I'm not saying he should go back being a reliever, but he just won't be able to last the full season.
Yeah, and he's coming off an injury as well.
That too. Yes, obviously we don't know what the offers might have been, but for me, it just feels like if you didn't get if you didn't make a trade for Garrett Crochet and or Luis Robert, you were asking too much. And granted, that's all they have, so they're going to ask the world. But like, you know, there were zero top 100 prospects traded. Like, that still baffles me.
And they should have been in that group. They should been able to get one with
easily, like
with Robert and or Crochet.
Blowing my mind. Both. Yeah, it's blowing my mind that, you know, you couldn't work with the Orioles around, just get a quantity of prospects over like the two or three high quality prospects, build a package around Norby and Sowers and Samuel Bisello. Like, that's a fantastic start. Like, you know, if you're the White Sox and if you're the Orioles, it's no skin off your back. Like, it's one more prospect and you already traded, and you got a lefty that was way better than the lefty you got. So, you know, that's looping back in the Orioles to, you know, a little foreshadowing here. But yeah, the White Sox are just big losers. I know they can trade both of them in the offseason. I would expect them to trade Crochet in the
I don't know
offseason.
what to expect anymore. I
I think
really
they
don't. I
will.
have no
I think they
idea what they're
will.
doing. I don't think they have any idea what they're
They
doing.
traded Cease in the offseason. I think they'll trade Crochet in the offseason. You
I mean,
know.
it would make sense,
Yeah.
but they don't make sense.
Yeah. Teams will get I don't know how soon you can trade a guy after he's drafted, but those teams will get those guys firmly in their system. Guys were still signing like yesterday. So, you know, certain teams didn't know what prospects they would have or didn't have. So, you know, maybe getting those guys signed and officially in their system will open up some prospects to be traded and moved elsewhere down the line. But I still think they'll trade him, but in a huge seller's market, I think it was a mistake not to trade him as soon as you possibly could.
I'm definitely in agreement there, and it's gonna be an interesting. I think honestly, it's gonna next year to me is even more interesting than this year for the White Sox. Where do they go from here is the question.
It's
Because
going to be repeated this season, man.
I mean, that would be hard to do because this might be the worst one ever. Like they might actually. That's not it. I think we said that at the beginning of the season, like as a joke, that they could be the worst team ever.
Yeah.
But now it's not a joke. It's
Yeah,
like
it's
very
very
real
much
possibility. I
not.
think they've lost like 17 games in a row.
Yeah, they have. Yeah,
Yeah.
we're on
So,
record watch.
White Sox fans, you deserve better than this. You deserve better than this. It's not your fault. I'm so sorry.
All right. The next winner, the New York Mets. Listen, I'll keep it short and sweet. None of these moves moved the needle, but for a team that has been clearly overperforming, they were going into the season actively trying to sell, adding guys like a Jose Quintana and guys of that nature, Severino, to flip at the deadline. And here they are playing really well in playoff contention. They couldn't sell at risk of fracturing the clubhouse. They could not sell. So what do? They do what they can to support their team. They added five quality players without sacrificing any of their top 15 prospects. It was a masterful, you know, nuanced way to approach a deadline from David Stearns in his first year at the helm in New York. Listen, the Mets might not go on to do anything this season, but this deadline can't be anything but a win because it was such a low risk for
Yeah,
every
exactly.
single move, and you boosted your current on-field product. It's one of the biggest winners of the deadline, in my opinion.
Yeah, I would say probably the best guy they gave up was in the Winker deal, Tyler Stewart, who's had a very, very strong season in the minors this year. But he
And
was,
even he
again,
was like
he's
their 17th ranked prospect.
exactly like they really did a good job of acquiring talent without giving up basically anything of value. And they made themselves better. I mean, I'm again like they these a lot of these are depth pieces, like depth plays, you know, for bullpen. You get Ryan Stanek, you get Phil Maton, you get Brazoban from the Marlins, and then you also add some depth in your rotation with Blackburn. Obviously, Winker is the biggest piece there, and if he does continue to hit the way he has hit for the Nats this year, that's going to be a big win for them because he's been one of the best left-handed hitters in baseball. And especially when it comes to plate discipline. Yeah, I think he fits that clubhouse really well. And they've got a good shot to make the playoffs. And with that offense, man, they get in. They're scary. I don't know if they have the pitching necessarily to compete, but that offense is strong and they can outhit most teams. So they got something going here. And yeah, again, it's more of a value-based trade deadline this time around, anyways, because there weren't these huge top 100 moves, but then you can see the result of that here, where you get quality play. Like, I mean, Ryan Stanek
Stanek,
is a great player, traded for basically nothing. Phil Maton has been great in the past. He wasn't doing quite as well. He's actually done very well since getting to the Mets. So they clearly saw something there. So definitely a win for them. And yeah, just because they didn't have to give up anything big in their system.
Here in America, work is in trouble. We've offshored our manufacturing, sent away good jobs, and lost so much ability to make things. American Giant is pushing back against that tide. They make high-quality clothing for a summer wardrobe you'll love, all made right here in the USA. Support America's workers and get 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com, code STAPLE20.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Yep. Agreed. All right, moving on to our next loser, and you'll see a theme amongst all of our losers. One of the kind of more underrated yet bigger losers of the deadline is the San Francisco Giants. You know, I said it before, if you're going to sell, go all in. And, you know, in the offseason, I really applauded the Giants for trying to go for it, signing Soler, signing Chapman, signing Jung Ho Lee. And I understand, you know, this season hasn't gone the way they wanted to, mainly due to injury. But, you know, if you decide to sell what you can, right? And just try again next year, right? So, like, the Soler deal made sense, in my opinion. You get that money off the books. Yeah, you don't get a massive return, but you get to reinvest that money into your team elsewhere. That's fine. If you're going to do that, why not trade Blake Snell, who was coming off one of the best starts that any pitcher has had all season long, 15 strikeouts. Like, it was the perfect audition to be like, here you go. Here's the reigning Cy Young guy. He just had a slow start because he missed spring training, but he's still that dude, right? And just trade him because he could opt out for nothing. And then you're screwed, right? Yeah, you might get a comp pick, but that's it. So it's just, it was a very head-scratching move to what they traded versus what they didn't trade, because they could have traded more from their bullpen too. Every team needs bullpen help and was looking for bullpen help and was paying a premium for bullpen help. And the Giants, like, it seemed like they dragged their feet a little bit. Like, they wanted to sell but didn't want to upset too many people or fans or whatever, and it was just kind of an underwhelming deadline.
The head scratcher for me is trading for Mark Canna for absolutely no reason. I don't I don't get it, because you trade Soler, so you get his money off the books, and obviously they get money off the books for the next two seasons that they would have had to pay him. But Mark Canna is going to make more money than Soler would make for the rest of the season.
Yep.
So if you're doing a salary dump, why are you going to then acquire more money onto your books? I don't know. It's a little bizarre, and it feels directionless. It feels like they don't know what exactly they should do. They're trying to play both sides instead of going on. We loved their offseason, and it just hasn't worked out. And that happens. But when it does happen, you got to bite the bullet. Yep. Like, you can't just sit here on your hands and do nothing. And they didn't do nothing, but they just essentially did. By their moves were just kind of neutral. They didn't really they didn't get better, and they didn't move a ton of money off their, I mean, they moved Soler, but that's basically that was basically their big contract there. I mean, Cobb, I think, was making a decent amount as well, but not enough to, like, if they were really trying to get money off their books, they should have probably traded more players. Mike Yastrzemski, for example, who's in ARB 2, I think, and has a year and a half left and is having a pretty solid year.
Blake Snell.
Or Blake Snell. Yeah, I mean, that's obviously
the big one.
He's
making like $15 million the rest of the season.
Yeah, that's obvious. I think maybe they were just hoping, I really don't know. I really don't know. I don't know what they're doing here. But it's weird. And essentially brought the Braves back for 2021 form by trading not
Yeah,
only
no.
Soler to them, but also Luke Jackson.
Yeah, no.
The only dude that they're missing is Jock.
Right. I know Jock was like stressing that his phone
He
was
was
gonna
like, oh,
get.
I'm gonna get freaking
Yeah,
traded
he's like,
again,
yeah,
man. But
here we go.
yeah, luckily the D-backs are a little too good, so they kind of need them.
Yeah,
But
exactly.
yeah, weird, just very bizarre from the Giants here.
Yeah, was not a fan. All right, Trey, who's the last winner we have?
The last winner we have is the Cardinals. And the reason why is essentially for that one trade, because they gave up nothing. That
Yep.
is basically the entire, like, they got the best pitcher that was traded, essentially, for when you look at the value of the contract, because they get him for a year and a half. And then they also get a really solid hitter who immediately produced for them. And then they trade Tommy Edman, who is hurt and hasn't played all year and really doesn't fit their team anymore, because basically Brandon Donovan has become what Tommy Edman was for them. I think Tommy Edman's a good player, and I do think the Dodgers probably need him a little bit more than the Cardinals do. But at the same, but like exactly like you're basically trading nothing and getting a great return. So although the Cardinals probably should have done a little bit more, they did also trade for Sean Armstrong for Dylan Carlson. That's not really a huge move. They probably
No.
should have done a little bit more, but based on pure value, again, that's kind of what we're going for here. They did very well.
Yeah, I really don't have any notes. Like this is, I don't have the list in front of me, but easily one of the oldest rosters in baseball. They had to do something. Their farm system isn't exactly loaded. A lot of their better prospects have now graduated, like Mason Wynn, who's having a great season. They could have traded more, but that's really hasn't been the Cardinals' MO. We thought they were going to be in on Max Scherzer and in on Juan Soto when those deals happened, and that they might have had conversations, but it never came to fruition because it never seemed like the Cardinals were really willing to sell the farm. And they didn't this time, and they still got better. So
Yeah, they
whether it
didn't
was,
sell anything,
yeah, whether
hardly.
By design or just sheer luck, they're winners because they got better without giving up a lot, and they give their, very old roster a chance to make a run and get hot at the right time. So we'll see if a quality couple of arms can help them do that.
Yeah, I think based on WAR, they traded negative 0.8 WAR for Eric Fetty, Tommy Pham, and Sean Armstrong. Zero from
Yeah.
Edmund because he's hurt, and Carlson's just hasn't been good for them.
No.
So just crazy value in this trade for the Cardinals.
Yeah, kind of nuts. All right, and our final loser is a team that wound up being a loser at last year's deadline, even though I personally commended them for trying. The Los
It was fun at
Angeles,
least.
yeah, the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim are once again losers at the deadline for completely different reasons this time. Last year, all signs were pointing to sell. They decided to make one last run with Shohei and try to buy the deadline. And I think every single deal they made failed.
Basically, yeah.
Basically, when they could have gotten a really nice haul for Shohei. hindsight, I get it. This year, a little bit different. Obviously, Shohei is gone now. The team is not competitive. You had quality players that would, maybe not completely change the trajectory of your franchise, but really boost that farm system and maybe even your major league team in the not too near or not too distant future. They traded Carlos Estevez. That was a pretty good return they got from the Phillies. But then that was pretty much it.
Yeah,
Like,
the key with that is like the moves that they made were okay, but
yeah.
it was the moves that they didn't make. Like they
Yeah.
didn't
Tyler
they
Anderson was a
why
clear,
is Tyler Anderson
he's
still here?
overperforming. You should probably trade him. Even a guy like Brandon Drury would have had value elsewhere.
Taylor Ward,
Yeah, Taylor Ward, I was
Luis
trying to think.
Renjifo, Kevin
Renjifo was the
Pillar. Why
big
is
one.
Kevin Pillar still on your team
Yeah,
when
Renjifo was
he
the big one because like his name was out there, in
yeah,
the teams that were looking at Jazz and looking at just infield help in general. Like, I can't believe they kept Renjifo.
And he's been damn good. I mean, he would have netted a solid return, I feel like, and definitely some teams out there that could have used him. But yeah, it's just like, why are these guys still here? Like, there's no, I mean, Renifo's arguable. He's a younger guy. Like, I don't completely hate not trading him there, but why is Kevin Pillar still here? There's no reason for him. He's totally overperformed. It's the perfect type of guy on a 1-year contract. Sell him. Why is Tyler Anderson here? He's totally overperformed. He's on a 1-year contract. I'm sure the Dodgers would have loved to reunite with him. I just don't get it. And this is the most head scratching. I mean, they're kind of like the Rockies of the American League, where
they just
don't make sense. Like, most moves they make don't add up in your head. Like, it's just the logic is not there. Yeah, especially with the recent news of Trout basically just shut him down.
Yeah.
You know, it makes even less sense not to move some other pieces, try and boost up for the next year or the next few years. But yeah, they're in a bad hole because you can't buy last year and try
and
to go for it.
Exactly.
And then
you'll never be
anything.
Able to make up for totally make up for buying last year, but you can certainly help.
You can try. Yeah. And like, again, we were like kind of in on them buying last year just because it's like, it's fun. They were trying to capture something with Ohtani when they knew that they weren't going to re-sign him and all that. But yeah. And now it's, especially after this deadline, it looks even more silly because they didn't do anything. Yeah. With pieces they could have moved. That's the big problem. It's like, it's not questionable guys here. Like, there's not many of these guys that we're talking about have a lot of years of control. And you're not going to compete next year either. So why are you, I don't know. It's a head scratcher, and Angels fans were not happy about it. I know that. And they're kind of just going to be stuck in this rut until they make some changes in their organization. Maybe if they can sell the franchise, I know they were trying to do that before it fell through, but maybe that goes back up for sale. That's kind of the only way I can see this team turning it around anytime soon.
Yeah, the Angels are bad. You mentioned the Rockies. I mean, they're easily a loser too, but like, that's
stating
the obvious. Yeah. Yeah. It's just, yeah. A couple of honorable mentions real quick though. The Nationals, kind of winners. We'll talk about that more on District Nats. I think they could have done more, but with what they did pretty well. And then kind of losers, the Orioles. For a team that seems poised, ready to go, you made a big splash in the offseason getting Corbin Burns. That's paid out beautifully so far. You know, you really could have elevated yourself both, you know, roster-wise, but also versus the rest of the league in terms of the deadline. No one was making big splashes. Had you gone out and gotten a Garrett Crochet, or I don't think Skubal was ever getting moved, but, you know, with the right
offer.
If
there was one team that could have done it, it might have been those, but yeah, probably.
I don't think they were ever going to trade Jackson Holliday. Those rumors were just fun to think about. But like, Samuel Bassello has no future with the Orioles. He's very, in terms of prospects that are blocked, I don't think you can get more blocked than what Samuel Bassello is right now. And through no fault of his own.
Absolutely not. He's great.
For him to still be in the system is kind of a head scratcher, especially when he's the 19th ranked prospect in baseball or whatever it is. Like, that's, you know, you might only needed to trade him and like no one else for a frontline starter or another frontline starter. You know, they made a couple moves. I think they overpaid for Rodgers and Eloy Jimenez. I appreciate them taking on the salary dump to try to bolster their major league roster, but like, very underwhelmed with what could have been a really good deadline from them.
I think that's the main point, is like, they definitely got better technically, but they have so many pieces to work with and they just seem to not want to mess with them. Now, I mean, yeah, like you said, the Holiday, I wouldn't trade Holiday right now anyways, Coby Mayo is a perfect candidate for a trade. Basala, like you said, is totally blocked. Like, you're probably not going to see them anyways. Maybe they get moved in the offseason too. They did do that with Burns. They might do another move where they You see one of those guys get moved. But they're definitely like the from what they said, they're very hesitant to move their top five guys, basically. Which,
And but now Jordan Westberg's basically out for the season with a fractured hand. So
yeah,
it's
and I
like
mean,
already not being aggressive at the deadline is already biting you in the ass.
yep, that definitely could have and should have done more to help this team, but not the worst overall. And also the Dodgers for winners, I wanted to mention them. They're always active. They got Jack Flaherty. That's a good pickup.
Ahmed
So
Rosario
yeah, I know they
meets a
traded for him
need.
again. That's fun. But so, you know, they got better, obviously, but they, you know, when we think about the Dodgers, if they're not doing something massive, who cares?
Kopech,
So
Flaherty, Rosario, and Edmund, all in
yeah,
all.
solid moves, definitely. They definitely that tells you that they think when they're healthy that they can still compete. And I'm honestly
Which I think they
not.
can, which I know they can.
Yeah, I mean, obviously with that offense, anything is possible. Their pitching is the question mark, but if Kershaw can at least give them a stretch run of decent pitching,
They
they
need
should be.
Glasnow and Yamamoto to come back healthy, stay healthy, and perform well.
Oh, that obviously Glasnow has been great for them. So they definitely a path for them to compete in the playoffs, even with the lack of moves. But yeah, it's just whenever they don't do anything massive, like nobody's going to pay attention because they just are the Dodgers and they're always good.
Exactly. All right, we're gonna wrap with kind of like our chef picks for the team that wasn't immediately a loser, wasn't immediately a winner, but we wanted to talk about their trade deadline all the same. Trey, who's your team?
My team is the Pittsburgh Pirates, who were nearly big losers, in my opinion, at this deadline until they made a nice trade. Well, they got
A couple,
IKF, Isaiah Conflaff. He's had a great year, and he will definitely help their positional versatility. The best trade they made was getting Brian De La Cruz from Miami. I think De La Cruz is another perfect change of scenery candidate. He's got pretty much all this the hitting skills you need. He just hasn't been able to consistently put it together. And it comes at a really good time for them because Nick Gonzalez just went on the injured list. So it's a smart trade for them. They get a lot of control, like 3 full years of control after this, and they really didn't give up anything massive to get him. But I still think they probably could have done more if they were truly wanting to buy. That's the thing about the way the Pirates operate is they're very frustrating as well. Like, this is a nice group of guys they've got. But at the end of the day, I don't hate it because I think next year is really their time. Like, I feel like, but again, they've got to show me something this offseason. Sign some guys, help them out. Let's supplement your young pitchers with some bats and make the playoffs next year. If not this year, they're still very much in it and they have a solid squad. They've been pitching out of their minds with their young guys, especially Skeens, obviously. So interesting deadline, and I'm very excited to see what De La Cruz does in Pittsburgh.
Yep, agreed. I liked that pickup. Mine is the Padres. They're always active at the deadline. They made good moves. We'll put that out there. Jason Adam, Tanner Scott go a long way in, pairing with Suarez and that bullpen and those other
Great,
arms.
nasty bullpen now. I mean,
Yeah,
just
they have a really good bullpen.
disgusting.
So, if that was their primary objective, I think, you can check off that box. They really spent a lot, like prospect value wise, on those two arms. And Scott was a rental, and they did not pay him or pay the Marlins like a rental. They paid him like, he had years of control left. So it's like, again, if that was your objective, then objective met and it is what it is the rest of the season. That being said, you need them to perform really, really well to justify these moves. So AJ Preller's never going to be one to shy away from making a big splash. We saw him both trade for Juan Soto and then trade away Juan Soto like in a year span. So that's not as much my concern. It's just like with their farm system now, obviously Merrill's graduated. They traded away like seven of their top 10 prospects in what was a pretty good farm system already. So it's like they have a couple of guys left. That farm system is really depleted. So it's going to take time for them to build a backup, develop guys, draft some guys, trade for guys, whatever. Right. So with all that being said, this is the time right now. Like, you don't really have any more prospects remaining to go make a big swing in a trade. Like, you really need to perform now. And I'm just not buying into this team yet. I like the moves. Their bullpen's really good now. Their pitching in general is really good. It's just, I don't have that like belief in that team, but maybe that's what they needed because they've had all the hype the past couple of years, have failed. I mean, they made the NLCS in 22, but all in all, they've really failed. So maybe they just needed the hype to go away and they just need to be a really concrete team, have a good bullpen, have good pitching, and have just enough offense to get them through. So they're one I'm going to be watching. I think they're now like definitively a playoff team. They're in a playoff spot right now, slowly getting better as, you know, we get deeper into the season. But can they go with the best of the best is the thing that remains to be seen. So they're going to be a team to watch for me for sure.
Yeah, I think a key for them down the stretch as well is getting Manny Machado to be Manny Machado again, because they've managed to keep a spot with him having a pretty down year.
Yeah.
But, you know, Manny can get hot. Mm-hmm. And if he does, he can carry you. So if you have the pitching like they do now, they just need to get enough out of that offense, which they didn't really try and improve. I was kind of hoping that they would try a little harder there. But yeah, like you said, they were kind of running out of prospects, although they've been very good at developing prospects.
Yes, they have.
And then trading them. So, yeah. I mean, at this point, it's going to take a little bit of time for them to recoup that prospect, the farm system. But yeah, Preller's going to do what Preller does. And he's going to trade those guys to get better now. And if you can get Machado to be, you know, his normal self, I like this offense. It's just that he hasn't really performed much. And they also did get Bogaerts back from injury recently, so that should help them too.
Yep. So it's just, can they get healthy at the right time and get hot at the right time? As, you know, every team.
A lot of these, yeah, I mean, that's kind of been how it's been with the expanded playoffs. I mean, most, like, the lower seeds are the ones that are getting in because they're getting hot at the right time.
Yep.
And that's kind of how these teams are playing the trade deadline now, so.
For sure. All right. Well, that does it for this episode of District Baseball. We'll be back next week with your regularly scheduled programming, recapping the week in baseball, seeing how all these new look rosters are performing and how the wild card race and playoff standings are shaking out with another week removed from the trade deadline. So in the meantime, be sure to follow us on Twitter at District BSB, TikTok at District Baseball. Be sure to check out our YouTube page, if you don't already subscribe, check out all of the content that's coming out there. We appreciate you listening. You can follow Trey at Reverse 2Rs, 2Ss, myself, Coach Moose. We're back next week. And in the meantime, let's go baseball.
Peace.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.